I'm Ted. Well, I've been playing it since I was quite young, because my father was very keen on it, and he used to give me lessons. We didn't have to go far to play, so we used to play together quite a lot. Unless you have to join a club, it's not an expensive sport. You just need a racket and balls. When I went to university, I played an hour or so every morning. Sometimes it was not easy for us to book a court because it was so popular. It was great exercise. It needs a lot of energy. Of course, you have to be fit since you do a lot of running, and you have to be quick. It's not a lot of standing around. It's movement all the time. It's a sport I like to play and to watch.
I'm Mike. I think I've been playing now for nearly 40 years, ever since I was a little kid. And it's always been one of my greatest interests in life. When I watch a game, I appreciate the athletic skill of the players, the strategies of the manager or coach, and the excitement of the uncertainty. Just not knowing how the game's going to go. Even when a very strong team is playing a very weak team, there's always that possibility of a surprise, of the unexpected moment changing the game.
I'm Lisa. Well, I've been doing it every winter holiday since I can remember. I love doing it because it's a skill that improves every time you do it. It's fast and it's exciting. And although it's really cold, you can still get a tan when you do it. Of course, the scenery's beautiful. And it's really nice when you're tired to go and have a hot drink afterwards. Of course, the problem is that it's very expensive, and it's really dangerous. You can always break a leg doing it, but apart from that, I really like it.
Exercise 2. Directions. Listen again, and decide which of the following descriptions matches which sport. Check the answers with your partner. Listening 2. Exercise 1. Directions. Listen to the short talk, and then discuss the following questions in pairs. During the 30s and 40s, when someone asked a kid who his role models were, he would often respond with the names of baseball players. Advertisers trying to sell a product would often turn to baseball stars too, because the public knew them and loved them. Now, looking at today's players, the only time you seem to hear about them is when they are complaining about their salaries. No longer is baseball the great national pastime, and kids are looking elsewhere for role models. Back in the 30s and 40s, money wasn't such an important issue. Players played baseball because they loved the game. They rarely complained about money, and they earned nothing in comparison with players today. Most players back then were also positive role models, both on and off the field. They did a lot of things for their neighborhood, from visiting sick children in hospital to signing autographs, not for the publicity, but just out of the kindness of their hearts. Parents then could be proud when their child said that he wanted to grow up and play Major League Baseball. Today, however, most baseball players visit hospitals only when they themselves need care. And some of them charge $20 for an autograph. In the past, players always tried to be positive role models for America's youth. It is a totally different story today. It seems that you can't get through a week without some baseball player doing something stupid or illegal. If players today would just grow up and stop worrying about who's making the most money, they would start feeling better about themselves. The public would start respecting the game again. And kids could start finding some role models on the baseball field again. Exercise 2. Directions. Listen to the talk again. And work with your partner to decide whether the following statements are true or false. Write T for true and F for false in the space provided.